Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable Lawrence B. Hagel presiding. All of our business before this court draw near, and you shall be heard. God bless the United States and this honorable court. Please be seated.
Good morning, everyone. Today we're here to hear the case of Johnson versus McDonald, docket number 142778. Who will speak for Mr. McDonald?
I'm speaking for Mr. Johnson.
Your name?
Patrick Berkshire.
Thank you very much. And who will speak for the secretary?
Good morning, Chief Judge. Danny, I'm here for the secretary.
Okay, thank you very much. And I see that you apparently have reserved 10 minutes, is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, you may begin.
May it please the court, the issue that is to be addressed today is whether treatment with topical corticosteroid therapy constitutes systemic therapy within Diagnostic Code 7806. That diagnostic code rates a veteran's skin disability in part based on the length of time in which they are treated with, quote, systemic therapies such as corticosteroids. The court should conclude that topical corticosteroids are indeed contemplated by the plain meaning of the term systemic therapy, and the court should do so for two reasons. First, the structure of the regulation is such that there does not exist a non-systemic corticosteroid within the meaning of DC 7806. Second, as conceded by the Secretary in his brief, the term systemic means treatment of the body as a whole as opposed to a single part. Systemic therapy...
Where did you get that?
That comes from Dorland's Medical Dictionary. It is cited in the Secretary's brief, Your Honor.
Okay.
Means treatment of the body as a whole, and topical therapy can fit within this definition. It is not limited solely to oral therapy, as suggested by the Secretary in his briefing. With respect to the first issue...
Why is that?
Pardon me, Your Honor?
Why is that? You said it can't be topical therapy. Can't, as I understood what you said, is topical therapy can be included in the definition of systemic therapy. Is that what you said?
Yes, Your Honor.
And where is that? What's your basis for that?
Your Honor, the basis for that is, as stated earlier, systemic means treatment of the whole. So how a therapy is delivered, basically the method in which it's given to a person, does not necessarily...
But do you have any citation for that, or you just... I mean, is this your logic that you're giving us?
It's partially logic. There is some support for the statement, though. For example, in the Merck manual, which this court has taken judicial notice of before in other cases, it is noted that topical corticosteroids can, in fact, have a systemic impact depending on the area that is that's used during treatment. Moving forward, with respect to the first issue, Your Honor, the regulation is structured so that a veteran can receive a higher rating if they are receiving a systemic therapy such as corticosteroids.
Has the Secretary in any of the board decisions or in any documentation ever interpreted this provision in the manner in which you are asking us to read it?
Your Honor, there is no formal interpretation from the Secretary.
Is there an informal?
At this time, I'm not aware of a board decision that's interpreted this way, Your Honor.
So you're basically arguing to us that this is, what, the Gardner case? That the Secretary has sat in isolated, splendid isolation for how many years, had this regulation that reads the way you see it, and has never interpreted it that way?
Your Honor, our argument is that the Secretary's interpretation conflicts with the plain meaning and structure of the diagnostic code.
I understand that, but so you're not arguing that this is Gardner?
I am not arguing that this is Gardner, Your Honor.
So then, go ahead. I'm not sure why your argument isn't actually saying that. You're telling us that it says A.
Well, Your Honor, the reason
that... The Secretary has been ignoring A and always applying it as B.
And isn't that, don't you make that argument in your brief?
Oh, we do make the argument that the rule is being misapplied. And I think perhaps there was some misunderstanding. When I say that we're not arguing Gardner, I meant to say that we haven't gotten to the point on whether or not there's interpretive doubt. And that was because for that to be
the case. Well, Gardner's a plain meaning case. I mean, Gardner itself has a lot of language in it, dicta, with regard to interpretive doubt, but it was a plain meaning case. They looked at a statute. Mm-hmm. They said it said A. The secretary sat in splendid isolation and applied it as B for the entire time, and they couldn't go against what the Congress had written.
In that respect, Your Honor, yes, that is what we are arguing, that the secretary...
But isn't the difference here that the secretary wrote the regulation?
The difference here is that the secretary wrote the regulation, Your
and
Honor.
Doesn't the Federal Circuit and all case law say we defer to them unless it's
Your Honor,
arbitrary and capricious?
No, Your Honor. Under the our standard of review, you would reject the Secretary's or you the Secretary's interpretation of his own regulation would be rejected if it is erroneous or plainly inconsistent with the regulation.
Well, it says doesn't play. Yeah, okay, go ahead. You're right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Counsel would argue in this case that this would be such a situation because the Secretary's interpretation is in direct conflict with the language and structure of the regulation.
Is yours the only reading that can be given to this regulation?
Your Honor, I believe our reading of the regulation is its plain meaning and most comfortable reading. Any other reading essentially requires that the reader start importing meaning, an additional meaning, into the regulation that isn't currently there. You know, we have a large body of case law out of both this court, the Federal Circuit, and other circuit courts concerning such as, and that it creates examples. What follows such as is examples of what precedes it. Here, the Secretary drafted a regulation that says systemic therapies such as corticosteroids, and there is no limitation on the type of corticosteroid or the manner in which it is applied. Therefore,
but
that,
didn't some of the medical opinions that are in this record, medical authorities refer to systemic and say that your client was not, he was only taking topical? Didn't the doctors discuss it that way?
Your Honor, in the record, there is only one medical opinion that specifically states he's not receiving systemic therapy, and that is the... And that is the 2008 record from March that was cited by the Secretary. However, it's worth noting that in that case, the our client was in fact taking a different drug than is at issue currently. He was then being treated with hydrocortisone, whereas the current treatment, which is the one that he's been taking for long enough to qualify under the regulation, is triamcinolone. And
well, is the first drug that you mentioned, is that a corticosteroid?
No, Your Honor. It is not a corticosteroid. Essentially, because of the structure of the regulation, within the universe of DC 7806, there is no such thing as a corticosteroid that is not a systemic therapy. And because that is the most comfortable and easiest reading of the regulation, the Secretary's interpretation is in direct conflict with it and should be rejected by the court. In the alternative, if you look at the other terms in the regulation, for example, the definition...
I'm sorry, could we go back to this application of the hour standard?
Sure, Your Honor.
Explain that to me again. I know that you stated the standard correctly. Mm-hmm. Now, why is the Secretary's interpretation of its own regulation now? We're not talking about the statute. Why is it plainly erroneous, right, or inconsistent with the Secretary's announced policy?
Your Honor, it's plainly erroneous because there isn't language within the diagnostic code for the Secretary to basically find the extra requirements that is imposed. The Secretary, in its latest publication of the M21 and in its brief, has basically said systemic therapy is just going to be oral therapy and then some therapies that include moving the drug into your blood. Those words are nowhere in the diagnostic code, and there are no words in the diagnostic code suggesting that that's what the Secretary was actually getting at when he drafted the regulation. essentially the Secretary is manufacturing.
Your argument then is going to be based not so much, as I understand it, not so much on the plain meaning as the word such as, therefore giving corticosteroids as an example of systemic treatment.
That is our primary argument, Your Honor.
Okay, so it's the such as, maybe I'm not understanding the difference, but it seems to me relying on the such as for an example of does not show that the Secretary's interpretation is plainly erroneous. But if I, you know, that if that isn't, that question is not clear to you, you don't have to answer it. You just go on.
Your Honor, the question is clear to me. And it's plainly erroneous because, as we've maintained, such as limits the universe of DC 7806 so that there isn't such a thing as a non-systemic corticosteroid. In addition, even if you were to open up the regulation, the term systemic can include topical applications. As I mentioned earlier, the Merck manual will show that sometimes steroids, when applied, can have systemic impacts. In addition, from everyone's lay experience, we've seen drugs that people take by placing on their skin, but it's affecting the system. Nicoderm CQ patch would be a good example. You place it on your arm, and nicotine enters your entire system. So the idea that the introduction of the word systemic into the regulation means per se that there is no such thing as a systemic topical therapy is erroneous and inconsistent with the regulation.
What about the Secretary's argument that if we took your position, then the 0% rating, the use of the word systemic, not using the word systemic treatment would render the word topical, is it? Insignificant or then it would, or not either insignificant or not relevant, I guess.
Your Honor, the Secretary's concerns in this regard are unfounded. That section, the non-compensable rating, would not be rendered surplusage. As we raise in our reply brief, that part of the diagnostic code is the only portion that's phrased in the conjunctive. So you have to have less than 5% of your body being affected by the condition and treatment with just a topical therapy. As a result, that portion of the regulation will still be effective under the reading of the regulation that's provided by appellant. In addition, because...
Well, what if somebody got only systemic therapy?
If somebody receives only systemic therapy, under the operation of the regulation, depending on the amount of time they're being treated, obviously...
I'm talking about, let's say they don't make the time limit, and instead of getting topical treatment, they have whatever the percentage is, less than 5%, but the only thing they get is a shot. Do they, is there a service connection there, or what's the rating, and why do they use the term topical and not systemic? In other words, you're right, it's conjunctive. So they have to have the rash or the skin condition over a certain percentage of their body, and they have to have a topical treatment. Okay, well, what if they have the percentage all over their body and just get systemic treatment, no topical treatment?
If they have no topical treatment, and but they're receiving systemic therapy, it would appear that that particular scenario is not contemplated in the current regulation, and I imagine that would result in probably an extra scheduler evaluation.
But the Secretary's argument is, well, wait a minute. If, you know, if we don't, if we eliminate systemic from here, and we specifically say topical, then topical must have a different meaning than systemic, because in the 0% range, you have to ask, it has to be topical treatment, and in the other rating sections, the higher rating sections, it has to be systemic. Am I correct with stating the rating schedule, how it, you know, how it reads, let's say?
No, Your Honor, under the diagnostic code, because corticosteroid has been defined as systemic, essentially topical in that...
Well, that's your view.
Yeah. the topical portion of it would basically be topical treatments that are not corticosteroids or do not fall within the list of examples that are in the regulation.
But that depends on your view that corticosteroids is in fact a systemic treatment, right? And or it's included in the definition because of the word such as. Right? That depends solely on your argument there, it depends solely on our willingness to accept your version of your interpretation of the word such as, meaning that corticosteroids is in fact a systemic treatment.
No, Your Honor, it doesn't depend on that completely. If the court were to find that the plain meaning of the regulation does not designate corticosteroid as a systemic therapy, then the most likely and appropriate outcome would be on a case-by-case basis to determine whether a treatment that is provided is in fact systemic. Our position is that the plain meaning is corticosteroids are a systemic therapy. The outcome of the case does not depend.
But let's focus on this case. I understand assuming that we don't adopt your interpretation, then the result would be that you lose, right? And that maybe on an individual basis, somebody could say, if you get X treatment, that is systemic, right? In each individual case. The doctor would have to say, or some medical professional or some pharmacist would have to say, this particular drug is in fact systemic. For example, your example about the patch, Nicoderm patch, I don't know whether it's systemic or not, I don't really know, but let's assume it was. So let's assume that you put a Nicoderm patch on you, then the doctor would have to say, or there'd have to be some evidence that we could look at it, that would say that is systemic before, otherwise you lose.
No, Your Honor, we would not lose. In this case, the record is unclear as to whether or not, if we're going to go on an individual fact basis, on whether or not his current treatment isn't systemic. The only record saying he does not get receiving systemic treatment was the record for 2008, and it was talking about a different drug.
Okay. I monopolized your time and the other judge's time here for questions, so I please.
Yeah, I'd like to just clarify position as I understand what you're saying. In 7806, a corticosteroid has been defined as a systemic therapy in ratings 10, 30, and 60%. And in the less than 5% where the secretary says that rules out topical therapy and makes the 0% meaningless, you could have less than 5% of the body affected and be only taking a topical cream that is not a corticosteroid, and then you would get a 0%.
Yes, Your Honor.
So if you had less than 5% and were taking the corticosteroid, you would move up into the 30% as long as it was less than 6 weeks.
Yes, Your Honor.
And so the entire scheme, as you understand it, is very consistent.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Moving on, Your Honor, I would also like to mention that in this case, remand is also appropriate for the board to address the existence of scarring in Mr. Johnson's face. There are medical records, including a November 2010 examination, that states that there is a scar.
And in the context of that medical record, is the doctor not talking about that scar being the result of a cyst? And a fair reading of that medical record is that it has nothing to do with this dermatitis?
I do not believe that would be a fair reading of the medical record, Your Honor. If you look at the medical record, the scar is in the area of the veteran's condition.
And he says and it's also specifically related to the cyst.
It may have been related to a cyst, but there's no indication that the cyst is not part of the condition. In addition, during the hearing, when the board judge asked him whether his condition resulted in a rash or a scar, the veteran said both. These are material pieces of evidence.
Is there any indication that the scar meets the requirements for a rating under 7800 that is higher than the 10% rating he already has?
The record in this case, Your Honor, is silent as to those issues because the Secretary did not adequately develop it. There's been no record indicating whether or not the scar is painful one way or another.
Even if it is painful, what would have given a rating?
If it was painful, it would be a 10%, Your Honor, but there could be the possibility of a separate rating for scarring.
On what basis would you say there's a separate rating when it specifically says you rate under one or the other?
Your Honor, we do believe that the issue was not addressed by the board and they did not adequately evaluate it. In closing,
was it ever raised by your client to the board that he should have, that his scar was met the size dimensions for a rating higher than 10%?
Your Honor, it was not directly
Is there any indication in the record that the scar meets the size dimensions for anything higher than a 10%?
No, Your Honor, but that's because the record has not been adequately developed concerning the scarring issue. In closing, Your Honor, we would request that the court reverse the board's determination and award our client a 60% rating for his topical corticosteroid therapy. Thank you.
Good morning, Chief Judge Hagel. Good morning, Your Honors. The Secretary, first to start, Your Honors, with regard to hydrocortisone, which Appellant's counsel mentioned, the Merck manual has defined and explained that hydrocortisone is a corticosteroid. The issue in this case is therapy. Dorland's defines topical therapy as pertaining to a particular surface area and only affecting the area to which it is applied. So the effect is a localized effect, whereas Dorland's defines systemic therapy as pertaining to or affecting the body as a whole. So it is referring to all of the body systems, not just one particular part. And this is clearly distinguished in the diagnostic code between topical therapy and systemic therapy. They each have their own medical definitions which address a medical condition, that being dermatitis or eczema. An appellant fails to acknowledge that these terms have distinct meanings with regard to
Systemic ever relate to an organ as opposed to all of the organs in the body?
With regard to the way systemic is defined in Dorland, it refers to all of the body systems, not just one particular.
Well, is it defined in any of the other dictionaries as pertaining to an organ?
In this case, Your Honor, the court has taken judicial notice of Dorland's, and it's referring to a medical condition, so that is why Dorland's would be the relevant.
I don't think this court has ever said Dorland's is the only medical dictionary that can be referred to, or that a regular dictionary cannot be referred to. My question is, has systemic ever been used to relate to an organ as opposed to the entire body?
No, that not that we've seen, Your Honor.
May I?
Yes.
What if there is a relationship between a particular treatment for a particular organ, which, if not given, would affect the entire system of the body? What's the Secretary's view on that? You apply this steroid, eliminating the obvious condition, but if you hadn't applied it, maybe the condition would spread or cause a different or other condition within the system.
Your Honor,
is that an irrelevant question? Is that too broad for the Secretary to consider?
Well, with regard to this diagnostic code, the use of the term no more than topical indicates that it's pertaining to the surface area, that being the skin, and only affecting the area to which it is applied. So if there's dermatitis and it's the size of a quarter, and the medication is applied to that particular quarter-sized patch on the skin, it's only going to affect that area.
Well, what if you had shingles and you only have a little quarter-size obvious rash? If it's not treated, it could spread to the whole rest of the body. What about that as a hypothetical? I'm sure there are many other dermatitis conditions such as that, or conditions that manifest themselves in a particular localized area, which if not treated, could spread to the entire system or have an effect on the rest of the body.
Well, Your Honor, if there is a condition which has an underlying if it's underlying condition or as you're speaking of, then the therapy would necessarily need to be systemic so that it affects all of the body systems and not just the surface of the skin. And if, forgive me, Your Honor, I'm not very familiar with shingles, but...
It's a virus that in later life, such as I have achieved, having had chicken pox 7 decades ago, and it's apparently becoming more prevalent. I see ads, Terry Bradshaw advertises some condition, emollient or whatever. In any event, I'm being perfectly serious, though, in suggesting, why don't you get a medical opinion instead of reading a dictionary? Or why doesn't, I could ask the question to the veteran as well, why isn't there a medical connection to the exclusion of this particular topical treatment from the effect of this regulation?
Well, first, Your Honor, I would say that there, this case of record, there is a medical opinion from November 2013 reflecting that the examiner identified that appellant was using a topical corticosteroid.
Yeah, but he didn't say what the effect of not using that or not treating that would have on the system.
Well, let me give you, Your Honor, a practical real-life example of the diagnostic code with respect to the therapies. So I'm sure that the court is familiar with poison ivy. With poison ivy, it causes contact dermatitis. So when the plant touches the skin, it's going to cause the irritation of the contact dermatitis. The typical first-line defense with poison ivy when it's at that stage is hydrocortisone, which is a topical corticosteroid that you can get over the counter. Merck Manual has explained that topical corticosteroids are remarkably devoid of any major side effects. So this is applied to the skin. It may cause some redness, maybe a little bit of burning, more of like nuisances.
How long do you apply that for?
I'm not particularly sure how long it would be applied,
Your
Honor.
You ever had poison ivy?
I'm sorry?
You ever had poison ivy?
I haven't had poison ivy.
Well,
but
I don't think it's 6 weeks.
Well, Your Honor,
to get a rating under this, it has to be 6 weeks. Do you have any evidence in the file that says taking and putting on your body corticosteroid for 6 weeks has no other effects?
Well, the difference is with regard to systemic therapy. So if, for example, the court...
Well, rather than you give me some answer you want, I'm asking you, do you have any evidence? I mean, you're presenting to us that if somebody goes out and gets poison ivy and takes this cream, it's okay because the reports that come with the medication say no real effects. And I'm asking you, this rating doesn't kick in until it's 6 weeks of taking this.
It's 6 weeks with regard to systemic therapy. So with regard to systemic therapy, that would be, for example...
Do you have any evidence to support the proposition that you were impliedly making that taking hydrocortisone or some other corticosteroid topically for 6 weeks has no other problems?
Your Honor, from my understanding from the Merck Manual, it's remarkably devoid of any major side effects. Do I know, Your Honor, of all the possibilities? No, I do not. But I do know that with regard to medical treatises that the court has treated similarly to Dorland's, that topical corticosteroids are remarkably devoid of major side effects.
But none of that information that you have that you recall references how long you take this.
How long? I'm sorry.
How long you're using it.
That would be a determination that I believe would need the some input from a medical professional as far as how long the use of a topical corticosteroid, if it's persisting.
And maybe the regulation already did that. Maybe it said if you're taking it for 6 weeks, it's a problem and you're going to get a higher rating. And if you're taking it for 6 weeks or more, but not constantly, you get a higher rating. And if you're taking it for 12, constantly for 12-month period, you get a higher rating. I mean, there's a different rating for each of these levels at which you are involved in having a systemic therapy such as a corticosteroid. And I understand what you're saying, but you're not you're not giving me any facts that support that the normal interpretation in reading this as presented by your opposing counsel isn't exactly what it says.
Well, Your Honor, opposing counsel is not focusing on the fact that systemic therapy differs from topical therapy. Topical therapy necessarily limits the definition of systemic therapy as one is affecting one particular surface area, whereas the other is affecting all of the body's systems. And going back to...
And what evidence do you have that taking a corticosteroid over the body for 6 weeks in a 12-month period is not affecting the whole body?
Your Honor, the way in which the diagnostic code is drafted, no more than topical therapy is what is required for a 0% rating. So it's limited to just topical topical creams.
Right. What's wrong with that? It's not a topical cortisone cream because the cortisone cream falls up in the 10% rating.
Your Honor, the 10, 30, and 60% ratings are not limited to immunosuppressive drugs or corticosteroids. They are limited to the type of therapy, that being systemic. So appellant in this case, at one time he was using a hydrocortisone.
Well, wait, to follow your logic, systemic therapy such as corticosteroid, immunosuppressive, and others. I don't see where that sentence gets read backwards to say they're not systemic. That's what you're doing. Aren't you reading it backwards to say they're not systemic? That systemic is the operative word, systemic therapy, such as, is meaningless? The secretary who wrote this long before you and I were here? Because how long has this been in effect, by the way?
Your Honor, this particular revision to 7806 has been in effect since 2002. And corticosteroids can be either topical or systemic. They are not all, as appellant is arguing, not all corticosteroids are systemic therapy.
What do you have to support that?
Well, Your Honor, with regard to the Merck manual does identify that corticosteroids can be topical. There's a section devoted to...
How does that definition mean it's not systemic?
It's not systemic as topical therapy is only affecting a particular surface area. It is a localized effect, as opposed to an effect on...
What evidence do you have that says if you take this corticosteroid for 6 weeks, within a year, it has no effect on the rest of my body?
By the mere fact of the definition, Your Honor.
Which definition?
The Dorland's definition of topical therapy, meaning that it's only going to affect a localized area.
Well, isn't that circular? Sorry.
Yes, no, go ahead.
Isn't that really circular reasoning? What's the basis for Dorland's opinion, or even Dorland's description, objective description of this condition? Shouldn't you look behind it? Shouldn't the secretary, with its vast army of medical consultants, hundreds of thousands of doctors and other medical staff, look to them rather than to Dorland's to make the conclusions on which it bases a very broad-based and important regulation?
Well, Your Honor, two things. Dorland's is a medical dictionary, so it's using medical terms that are known amongst the medical community. And with regard to the regulation, the Secretary drafted the regulation with consultation from medical experts in the field. So the regulation is drafted with consideration of how these dermatitis or eczema is treated, the severity of the condition, and the therapy necessary to treat the various, I guess, degrees of the condition, the dermatitis.
Well, shouldn't we know about all these experts and therefore the rationale or the reasonable basis for the regulation? Obviously, this court can't contest the way in which the, or deal with the way in which the regulation was adopted, but we're asked to apply it or interpret it or deal with the way the secretary interprets its own regulation. So shouldn't you be before us and say, look, three dermatologists from Johns Hopkins were asked to deal with this, and one from Texas, and one speaking as a Boy Scout who made headlines with poison ivy because the leaders of the jamboree, 2,000 Boy Scouts, were placed in the middle of a patch of poison ivy. You're way too young to appreciate this, but the first thing they taught you was how to identify poison ivy in the Boy Scouts, the, whatever it is, the three leaves and the red and blah, blah, blah. And they put us right in the middle of it. It took, they closed schools. It took years for us to get over it, those who were ultra allergic to it. So, and it was probably even before hydrocortisone, whatever the hell this stuff is. Did you know that the mango is part of the sumac family? You can get all the same things you get from poison sumac and poison ivy by touching, not ordering mango ice cream, by touching the mango if you're allergic to it. In all seriousness, I think we should have been alerted to or provided with the people you just argued uttered an opinion or gave an opinion on which the secretary relied in adopting this regulation.
Well, Your Honor, so this is a policy choice by the secretary as to the types of therapy needed to treat the underlying skin condition. And with regard to those experts that the secretary consulted with, when the regulation was revised in 2002, the Federal Register identifies one of the physicians who was consulted with to draft the regulation, and that's Dr. Carolyn McBrine. But with regard to the diagnostic code, the terms have specific definitions, and the secretary was aware of the limitation of such terms.
If they have such specific definitions to exclude topical, which I think is what you're suggesting, then why at 6602 for asthma do they specifically state oral or parenteral, if I pronounce that wrong, that's forgive me.
Your Honor, with regard to 6602, 6602 includes with the 1600% ratings following the term systemic, oral or parenteral. And this provides some clarification that the Secretary interpreted systemic narrowly to refer to the delivery of medications orally or parenterally. This,
but doesn't that mean that without having that narrower interpretation, systemic is actually broader? I mean, what would be beyond the parental or parenteral, the oral or parenteral, but, oh my goodness, skin, topical.
Your Honor, 6602 was revised in 1996 to include oral or parenteral. And the Federal Circuit has held that with regard to canons of statutory construction which apply with respect to regulations, that identical words used in different parts of the same act have the same meaning. So although 7806 does not include following the word systemic, oral, or parenteral, it's understood that systemic has the same meaning as 6602 as oral.
I think you're overstating that. This is a systemic, limiting systemic, the general meaning of systemic, to oral or parenteral. And they did not limit it elsewhere. The canon you're talking about didn't apply in that situation.
Your Honor, I would respectfully disagree. I believe that the canon would apply.
Let me ask you another question.
Sure.
If the court were to interpret it the way your opposing counsel wants, and I'm not suggesting we are, it's hypothetical. If we were, would the end result of that be that with this new provision that you now have out, which limits the definition of systemic now to not include topical, would the rating go up to the date of this new change and then revert back to where he's at now, and it would only cover the period in which he was taking this cream up until the new pronouncement that you have with regard to your definition? Do you follow me? Because I can restate it.
If you could, please, Your Honor.
All right.
Thank you.
It seems to me that if the court were to look at this regulation and say it's clear on its face that you've defined for purposes of this diagnostic code a systemic therapy to include the use of a corticosteroid, that the appellant has been using that for some period, that might put him in the 60% or the 30% or the 10% back to a certain date, whatever that date might be, that it would nevertheless would end effective the date he put out the new manual with its interpretations, limiting it to oral or parenteral. In other words, it wouldn't be a continuing rating of 60% if that's what he were to get under this diagnostic code, because you have changed it with the manual being published.
Your Honor, with the M21 that became effective in October, appellant, because he was using a topical corticosteroid, he would not go up to the 60% rating. He would, well, first I should say, too, is that he is currently rated at 10% because of the percentage of his body area affected, not because of any therapies that he's on.
I understand that. But so take my hypothetical and answer mine, all right? Assume that this court came out and said, you're right, corticosteroid applies under this definition up until the secretary changed it. Secretary has his manual provision that came out in October. My question is, if he were to get the 60% or 30% if it was less time period before that, would it then stop the date you published the M21? Because now you have a clear definition. You've changed the definition. Hypothetically, follow my hypothetical.
I'm trying to follow your hypothetical, Your Honor.
Right.
Where I pause, Your Honor, is that, yes, in trying to understand your hypothetical, the corticosteroids can be either systemic or topical, and he's been using a topical corticosteroid, so he would not be rated, even in this time frame you're talking about, he would not be rated in the compensable rating.
If the court were to hold that he should have been rated during this period, because he's been using a corticosteroid, if the court were to hold that, so that has to be accepted first as a hypothetical. My question is, would it nevertheless stop in October when the secretary, if the court were to hold, redefined that the systemic?
Your Honor, if I could please just speak with co-counsel regarding your question. Thank you. Your Honor, with regard to your hypothetical, the Secretary is not certain how the appellant would be rated after the M21's effective date, and we're not certain whether or not the training manual is retroactive, but the Secretary would be most willing to provide any supplemental briefing following the argument.
Yes, thank you.
I have a couple questions.
Yes, Chief Judge.
Now, you actually, both sides, are relying on the fact that we have in the past taken judicial notice of certain things with regard to medical dictionaries, definitions, I guess, mainly. But here, we're using the definition or various definitions to actually prove a fact, are we not? In other words, the meaning of these words, systemic, topical, and so forth. So, I mean, isn't that true?
Your Honor, I do not believe, the Secretary does not believe that we are using these words to prove a fact. There is medical evidence in the record reflecting that he is using a topical corticosteroid, and these words.
There's also evidence in the record, specifically in the 2008 exam, that he's not taking any systemic treatment, correct?
At that time, Your Honor, yes, it was noted that he was not using a corticosteroid and systemic immunosuppressive drug.
Okay. So why is it? I mean, for either of you to prevail, we have to accept your definitions of these key terms that will turn the case, correct? We either have to accept the appellant's definition or the secretary's definition and then argue from that, correct?
Your Honor, these words have definitions that are known in the medical community.
Yeah, but they're not known in the legal community, are they?
Well, the court has taken judicial notice of Dorland's, and these words have meaning to them.
You don't think there's any issue with regard to nothing being in the record to support your interpretation or the appellant's interpretation? In other words, no Federal Circuit kind problem, if you're familiar with that case.
I am familiar with that case, Your Honor. The words have clear definitions, and we are not defining terms. They exist as they are. These words, we are not coming up with new definitions for these terms. They have a meaning in the medical community.
Right, but we have to determine whether putting a patch on somebody is, in fact, affecting their system, don't we? Somebody has to determine that. We can't determine that. Am I correct? I mean, you have these words, systemic and topical, but the issue here is whether or not a topical, meaning putting something on top of the skin, can in fact be systemic.
Well, by definition,
there's nothing in the regulation that defines these. Am I correct?
Your Honor, by definition, topical therapy cannot have an effect on all of the body systems. If the court were...
Why? Take the example of Nicoderm. I like that example.
Well, with regard to the Nicoderm patch, Your Honor, that is not by definition topical therapy because even though it's applied to the skin, the effect is not localized.
Well, then you're just defining one against the other. I mean, you're just, you know, well, let's just skip that. I think we have a disagreement on that. Okay, let's move into another area. Would you agree that the rating schedule is designed to compensate an individual for the diminution of their employment, ability to be employed, and the income they would lose based upon their medical condition?
Yes, Your Honor. It is taking into account the average impairment in earning capacity.
Correct. Okay. We're in agreement on that. Now, how is it... I can understand how symptoms of a particular disability, you know, how much they cover your body, whether or not they seep fluid, other things, how that can affect a person's ability to earn income. Can you agree with that? It might. I mean, that would be a reason, like a rash. You know, I mean, it's in the in your rating schedule. If a rash covers a certain part of the body, then isn't that worse than in the sense of being able to engage in employment than if you have it, let's say you have it over 0%, 5% of your body compared to 40% or 20%.
Well, if it's less than 5%, Your Honor, and they're using
let's say it's 20%.
If we're speaking just of the percentage of the body area affected, and it falls within the diagnostic code for the compensable rating.
But is it worse or not? Okay, let's go to the ultimate question here that I'm getting at. Why is it that the difference between topical and systemic therapy affects the ability to work?
Your Honor, the Secretary drew a line when he drafted the diagnostic code, and in drawing that line, he made a determination that no more than topical therapy and less than 5% of the body area affected.
Well, he actually made a, this is the notice of final rulemaking. He also just said we're updating it because of advances in medical technology. Doesn't say that we're updating it because we find that it's less or more impactful on the ability to work. I mean, it's just, and there's no definition in here about systemic and topical. It just uses those words throughout. And it says the only reason they changed it, and the change adds these treatment portions, is because it's advanced medical technology, but it does, and it's more objective, but it doesn't tell why. So, you know, how are we supposed to decide that?
Your Honor, I see that my time is almost up, so I may ask, please, if I,
yes,
if I could answer. The Secretary drew a line with respect to the way in which the regulation was drafted, and part of that, yes, you referenced that it was to be current with medical advancements, have an unambiguous criteria, and also use terminology, current medical terminology. And with regard to the way in which various skin conditions are treated, the therapy is related to that. And so the diagnostic code is taking into account the severity of the skin condition and the therapy associated with it. And it also is going to the impairment in earning capacity as it's 0, 10, 30, 60%.
Could you go to the 2008 record that you were referring to? It's 982 record.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, in the middle of the paragraph, he has used hydrocortisone ointment. You got
yes,
that part?
Yes, Your Honor.
And then two sentences down, corticosteroids or other systemic immunosuppressive have not been used. Wouldn't that indicate that hydrocortisone is not a corticosteroid?
I would disagree, Your Honor.
All right, but I think you started by saying it was. Were you getting that information from?
Yes, Your Honor. Hydrocortisone, according to the Merck Manual, the 16th edition, identifies that hydrocortisone is a corticosteroid.
And what's the date of that?
Yes. This is the 16th edition Merck Manual. And
anybody got the 08 edition?
This is the 1992 edition.
1992, okay.
Yes.
So this is, this is poor drafting?
Your Honor, I wouldn't want to say that it's poor drafting, but I would say that hydrocortisone is known to be, it is a corticosteroid.
Okay, you answered my question. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honors.
How does this differ from Smith? You know what Smith is, tinnitus?
Your Honor, this case differs from Smith in the tinnitus case because here we actually have the diagnostic code specifically stating that corticosteroids are an example of a systemic therapy.
Didn't the diagnostic code for tinnitus say that tinnitus got 10%?
Yes, the diagnostic code does say that tinnitus gets 10%, Your Honor.
So how do you distinguish when doctors say you had tinnitus in the left ear, you had tinnitus in the right ear, you had bilateral tinnitus? Why did that get overturned by the Federal Circuit? Why wouldn't this, if we were to follow your route?
Sorry, Your Honor, could you repeat the second half of the
question? As I recall, Smith, it went off on the fact that the person had tinnitus in both ears, and that the rating schedule for tinnitus was 10%. 10% in each year. Secretary said, no, 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 you only get 10% period. This court said you get 10% in each year. He said 10% for tinnitus. You have it in the left ear. You have it in the right ear. Federal Circuit said no, defer the Secretary's interpretation. Why is this different?
Your Honor, the reason why we would not defer to the Secretary's interpretation in this case is it is in conflict with the language in its own regulation. If the interpretation that was proffered by the Secretary were, you know, harmonious or reasonable or just even not in conflict, then that would be the appropriate remedy. But as we mentioned earlier, it's in direct conflict with the Secretary's intentional use of the term such as and his choice to leave out the more specific identifiers, such as you mentioned earlier, which in many respects would make this case more similar perhaps to Jones and the IBS diagnostic code that was being covered in that particular case.
How do we address the fact that you don't know of any board decision and haven't pointed to any kind of interpretation by the Secretary that would not be consistent with the view that they presented, which is that systemic does not include topical?
Your Honor, how that would be addressed is, as a practical matter, VA is a very, very large system. There are many cases, and there are lots of reasons why challenges to specific regulations may not have come up. Many, many years before the Mullane Doctrine was even applied to VA or that situation was addressed concerning notice and delivery of notice, and yet, you know, things went on, VA continued to operate. So the splendid isolation is important, and sometimes, you know, things are not addressed by the court or the board. But when they are raised, it goes the responsibility of the court to say what the law is. And in this case, the Secretary's interpretation is in direct conflict with their own regulation. A few other matters I would like to address.
What remedy are you seeking?
Your Honor, the remedy that we are requesting is reversal and an award of a 60% disability rating because in the 2013 examination, it was indicated that the veteran had been receiving his topical corticosteroid therapy constantly or near constantly and would therefore qualify for that higher rating.
So we, in order to do that, we would have to find that topical is systemic.
Your Honor, in order for the court to do that, the court would have to make a finding that corticosteroids are generally systemic therapy in the universe of Diagnostic Code 7806.
So in other words, topical is applying the steroid topically is systemic.
Yes, Your Honor. A few other points that we would like to clarify. With respect to the Dorland's definition of topical, we'd point out that the other definitions and sources offered in this case are in tension or conflict with that. For example, the Merck manual that was cited earlier by opposing counsel and that I also cited earlier goes on to say with regard to topical corticosteroids that although there are generally not systemic impacts, that depending on the area covered, there can be systemic impacts. So the idea that the delivery method means per se that a drug or a treatment is not systemic is untenable.
Did it say anything about the amount of time it was used?
The manual did not mention anything about the amount of time it was used. So, I mean, talking about dosage and exposure, time frames would be...
opposing counsel's reading of Merck that hydrocortisone is one of these. Corticosteroid.
Your Honor, I was using the 17th edition, and I might have missed hydrocortisone. I didn't believe it was on the list. It's got a big chart in there that has all of the topical corticosteroids on it. It's possible that hydrocortisone is also a corticosteroid, but it would be worth emphasizing that even if that were the case, the 2008 examination was only addressing that drug, and it was not addressing the current treatment protocol that the veteran is under. And so the appropriate remedy would still be for a remand to evaluate the systemic impacts to the extent the court finds the Secretary's argument on that point persuasive.
Well, when you read the 08, does it not appear as though the doctor was saying that hydrocortisone is not a corticosteroid? I mean, if you're saying hydrocortisone ointment is being used, but corticosteroids or other systemic immunosuppressive are not.
Your Honor, I think
maybe he read the manual the way you did.
Your Honor, that's a possibility, but I don't want to speculate necessarily on what was in the mind of the doctor at the time he was writing that examination report.
Okay, let me ask you the same question about kind issue here, as I see it, or potential issue. I hear both sides asking us to make a determination on what certain medical words mean. Mm-hmm. Now, even though we all have a Juris Doctor degree, we don't have a medical doctor degree. And so why is it we have the expertise to determine this without the board having such evidence before it, or with some regulation or something that we can actually take judicial notice of in terms of the specific question we're asking without something else, some evidence? Uh-huh. I don't see any evidence here other than both of you are arguing these definitions.
Uh-huh. Your Honor, the reason that the court may take the step that appellant is requesting is that the secretary has taken the step of saying that corticosteroids are an example of systemic therapy. Generally speaking, on medical matters, obviously the court should, defer to experts if it's outside.
And where does the secretary take that step?
When they drafted the diagnostic code and stated that systemic therapy, such as corticosteroids.
Okay, so we're back to the such as.
Yes, Your Honor.
So is it your view that the burden, since you're reading this regulation written by the secretary, therapy, systemic therapy such as corticosteroids, mm-hmm. that it would have been the burden of the secretary to have presented down at the board or someplace some kind of medical determination that topical use of a corticosteroid is not a systemic therapy, and that they haven't done that, and you're just going by the plain reading of the regulation?
Your Honor, it's our position that irrespective of the burden for evidentiary development, that the regulation has decided that in the universe of DC 7806, corticosteroids are a systemic therapy, irrespective of delivery. In this case, evidence that the veteran has been receiving corticosteroid treatment for the appropriate amount of time is in the record, and therefore under the plain meaning of the diagnostic code, he should have been awarded the higher rating. We also wanted to address shortly your question, Judge Cass, concerning the effective date if the court were to rule in our favor.
Thank you for reminding me.
if that were the case, a reduction would not be appropriate. It's our belief that case law says that you cannot
enact a rating reduction. You're in a rating scheme. If this is reversed, remanded effective dates and things like that have to be put in by the board, wouldn't they be evaluating it all at once? And isn't our case law say that you can go up and down without a reversal?
There would be stage ratings, but it would be our belief that you cannot do a reduction based on a change in law. And we are willing to provide supplemental briefing on that.
Do you have anything right now?
No, Your Honor, we do not.
All right. You're going to send me back there wondering what this law is, it says. Okay.
Your Honor, we are more than happy to do a little bit more writing and get that to you.
If we need it, we'll ask.
Moving forward, even if the court were to reverse in this case, the M21 would simply become invalid guidance and wouldn't have an impact. So it would be our belief that there would be no effective issue. Your Honors, thank you for considering our case.
The case is submitted. The court will give counsel.
All rise.